This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to www.accessradiotaranaki.com.
It's 9 o'clock on a Friday, and that means it's time for Frankly Friday, a chance for you to connect with the community, thanks to the wonderful team at Driving Miss Daisy. This is Frankly Friday, only on Access Radio Taranaki, your community voice. Good morning and welcome to Frankly Friday for another Friday. Nice for you to join us. Gosh, the weather's been pretty rough out there, hasn't it? Not great. And you wouldn't want wanting to do what the wonderful Mel from Driving Miss Daisy is doing, and that is doing the miles between Hawera and New Plymouth at the moment. Of course, she's in rehearsal for Sister Act, which opens at the Hawera Repertory production in... Oh gosh, 3 weeks they open. It's going to be a great show, and of course Mel is in that production along with a lot of amazing people. Good on her. It's going to be great. Hey, this week's been an interesting week. We've had a few interesting announcements out by council, and of course yesterday there was a dispensation presented to the community engagement committee, which Murray Chong of course chairs, and Craig Nielsen of course did his presentation there from Enabling Good Lives around the changes proposed by government to the support carers. And of course we had Dinny EJ and Sam Bennett in here the other day, and it was really interesting to hear their viewpoint on what things are like, and how it's so vital that the community get behind this, because the proposed changes are going to have huge implications for people right throughout New Zealand, obviously, not just here in Taranaki. But, you know, if you don't make a difference and stand up and speak from your own backyard, where are you going to speak from? So we will be playing a few of those segments from those snippets from the interviews that we've had over the last week, because, yeah, certainly really interesting to see what's coming out of it. Toy Foundation was the last chance last night. You could get your submissions in about the proposed changes and proposed merger of selling the TSB Bank to Heartland Bank, and what that means for us here in Taranaki. It's always been Taranaki Savings Bank, as it was with TSB. And the concern that I have, of course, is around funding and how that will affect everybody in Taranaki, because let's face it, we are so grateful for what support that we have from the Toy Foundation. And will that mean that it will be remaining here in Taranaki, or will the funding be open to other areas as well, with obviously Heartland Bank not being just Taranaki, and how that will implicate that area? I'm interested to hear more about that. Of course, the chair hops on and has released a video, and hopefully we'll be playing a bit of that as well too. But of course, submissions had to come in yesterday. Let's play a song. We'll be back with you very shortly here on Frankly Friday. Good morning.
Want to better understand the challenges and solutions surrounding climate change? You can join us for Climate Matters every Monday night at 6 here on RTFM. Hosted by Lindsay Wood, this show, Climate Matters, brings you a look at climate breakdown, climate recovery, and the innovative ideas helping shape a more sustainable future. It's Climate Matters every Monday at 6 here on RTFM.
りあなてつまい僕はなたりあなてあお手をきまい手を裏きまいあろあないやいやてまな部屋をうりうり部屋をほりほりたうえこあなてと裏たがた僕はなてと裏からは
今日もきとるハイポー今日もきっとファンダー今日もきとるハイポーいたがたいくえいはりまいあくえ今日もきとるハイポー今日もきっとファンダー今日もきとるハイポーあ
ーおへあなあへにいてうわらひきかいやTo Anna
I'm Susie Cato, inviting you to join me for New Zealand's favourite kids radio show, Susie and Friends. Each week we have a new show with songs and stories, book reviews and birthdays, and lots of love and laughter with kids just like you. For more information, check out susie.co.nz. I'll meet you at the radio soon for Susie and Friends, thanks to our friends at New Zealand On Air.
Welcome back to Frankly Friday. Nice for you to join us. Well, of course, we all know what happened this week, and that is the big announcement from the Toy Foundation at the proposed consideration to merge with Heartland Bank. Let's check in now with Chris Usher, who is the chair of the Toy Foundation, about the proposed merger, and he explains about the process that they went through that closed yesterday afternoon.
The Toy Foundation has announced it's seeking community feedback on a proposal for TSB to merge with Heartland Bank. To enable the merger, Toy Foundation would need to sell its 100% shareholding in TSB and become a shareholder in Heartland Group. No decisions have been made yet. If the proposal does go ahead, it would create a challenger bank with greater scale called TSB Heartland Bank. We're now seeking feedback from people who reside in Taranaki to help inform our decision making. We believe this proposal creates a win-win. It would enable Toy Foundation to increase its investment returns in two ways. First, by being a shareholder in a larger and stronger bank. And second, by starting to diversify the foundation's investment portfolio. Over time, that will mean more money flowing back to the projects and initiatives that help Taranaki thrive. We also believe that the proposal will help to further strengthen TSB while retaining a strong TSB presence in Taranaki. We fully recognise the importance of TSB to the Taranaki community and for customers across New Zealand. If the proposal goes ahead, TSB Heartland Bank would have greater scale, meaning it can be more competitive against larger banks while continuing to be customer focused and backed by retail and specialist products. If the proposal is approved, Toy Foundation would become a shareholder in Heartland Group, the parent company of TSB Heartland Bank, with a 17.5% shareholding. There will be no changes to any current TSB customer products or services. Both banks have strong connections to and roots in regional New Zealand. And if the proposal goes ahead, TSB Heartland Bank will continue to be a regional champion with operations retained here in Taranaki. Toy Foundation's long-term strategy is to grow philanthropic giving in Taranaki. We see this proposal as an important way to begin to diversify our investments and to grow the amount of money that can be distributed back into the Taranaki community. Our long-term aim is to take our distributions from $30 million per year to between $50 and $60 million per year. We welcome your views on the proposal. To send us your written feedback, please visit our website, or you can use our postal address, email, or you can drop your written feedback into our New Plymouth office. You'll find more detailed information and explanatory material on our website. Visit toyfoundation.org.nz to find out more information or to use the feedback form.
Listen into Volley Voices, a celebration of the volunteers of New Plymouth and beyond. Join the hosts as they celebrate the heart of the community for the community and hear about the people making a difference every Sunday at 2. Volley Voices, proudly supported by Volunteering New Plymouth, only on RTFM, your community voice.
Yeah. the Hollywood sign, and then I'll sit and browse for one-way flights online. There's nothing like LA, baby. Those silver skies I've been craving.
Access Radio Taranaki, your community voice.
Woke up late, somewhere far away from home. Pockets empty, wallet gone. The sun is streaming all on down in my face. Laying down on someone's bed, a girl that I had hardly met. My head is spinning like up and down days. Now you're waking up too, lying next to me in your room. Now I'm quite used to someone so new. Did you catch my name? Yeah, I wonder how long I slept in. I don't know where the hell I've been. I know that's alright. Last night, we met at one. Drink two, dance two, four. Won't you hold on, wait till dawn. Slept till noon, and now one more. I got that taste, oh, to my mouth. It's like I had too much last night. This felt so right because of you. Now I could go or I could stay, cause I got nothing planned today, and I know that's alright. Last night we met.
The sun is streaming all on down on my face. Yeah, last night was fun, let's do it again. We both know we're more than friends, and I know that's all.
Welcome back to Frankly Friday. Well, earlier on, as I say, I caught up with Dinny, Sam and EJ ahead of the meeting that they had earlier this week around the proposed changes to government to carers. And it was a really interesting to see so many people. It was packed out to attend this. It shows you how important it is. And this is what they had to say the other week here. Let's talk to them now.
One of you, explain in terms your take on what you think the proposed changes will be. We'll start there.
Where to start? Because it's a complex bill. Yeah. And there's a few different changes, and that's a part of... it was a clever move to throw so many changes, some big, some small, into one bill so that it's nuanced to explain. Denny, do you want to go first?
So here's my take on it, that the changes that the government are proposing, I feel that's come off the back of the Supreme Court decisions, is about self-preservation.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, there are real families who will be impacted by this decision. We are currently going through a review of what my family are navigating through. So for those of you that don't know, my wife and I are full-time caregivers of her sister. And we've been that for going on 8 years now.
Yeah.
And so the nuances that EJ is talking about is exactly that. My biggest concern is that the communities that are going to be directly impacted on have not been engaged with. And how do you know what's beneficial or how you can improve services without the engagement of families who are impacted by
this? Absolutely.
The other thing that I'll note is there's no way of addressing in this new bill some of the real pain points, and one of them is the equipment. In terms of some families who need equipments to support them, whether it be an elevator going upstairs, but there's nothing in that bill to help assist the financial contributions that's needed to help families. And I think that's just disappointing when we have already the strains as families who are looking for support. So those are some of my initial comments. But you can't base a piece of legislation of self-preservation, because that's what it's coming across for us that's impacted.
Yeah.
Based on court cases where the Supreme Court were in favour with those families. And then not to actually engage with the communities that are impacted. The lingering effects of that could be widespread for years to come. So the short-term fix, if that's what the government are trying to do, but not do it with the families who are impacted, that's a massive red flag.
Yeah, no, I agree. I was going to say, EJ, go for it.
So what Denise is talking about, how they changed this legislation because the Supreme Court found that families were effectively eligible to be considered as employees of the state if they are caring for family members. This is what the impetus for this bill was, to try and backtrack on this, because the Supreme Court found this. And there's been a couple of instances recently where that has been the case, not just for the disability sector, but it's also happened in climate justice recently as well. So Supreme Court found that the state was responsible for climate change mitigation, and so that meant that the government has just changed the law so that they're no longer responsible.
Yeah.
And so what we're seeing is a pattern of government overriding the laws that are in place to be convenient for themselves so that they can shirk responsibility. And so one of the really concerning things is in this bill is a subtle mention that would be difficult to understand unless you were living it, is that it specifies that families are responsible for disabled people in the first instance. And on the top of it, that sounds reasonable.
Yeah, but hold on, the implications for it underneath that.
Exactly. Yeah. So what does this mean? Again, the state has shirked its responsibility effectively. And so there are three kind of options when it comes to figuring out what, like, who gets funding and who is going to be responsible for a care or a sector or an industry. There's the state, there's communities, and there's the private sector. Those are your three options. And so if the government is saying that families, community, are responsible in the first instance, but then they withdraw funding options for families in the first instance, then what does that actually mean in practice? Who is actually going to be responsible? Who is actually being resourced to care for disabled people? Because the legislation doesn't match what it's saying. Like, if families are responsible in the first instance, then we need to be resourcing families.
Yeah.
Because otherwise we end up in situations where disabled people and their families are living in compounding.
Absolutely. And further excluded issues from things. Absolutely.
Yes. And compounding issues of poverty.
Mm. Yeah.
And when we compound that with... with the move on orders that are in place, a significant amount of people who are living on our streets are disabled. They did not have access to healthcare or the right kinds of supportive education. They've slipped through the cracks. And so we're just seeing again and again and again this government shirk its responsibility to support its residents.
Do you know what gets me, and I get really fired up about it, is that, and you'll understand this, EJ, is that people with disabilities who aren't, it's not a visual, as it were, because I live it with my daughter, and she's got this autoimmune disease, and some days she can't get out of bed. She can't function at all. She lies in bed all day in incredible pain. And sometimes I'll text her at, 3 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon and go, do you want to come to the supermarket? And she goes, Mum, I haven't been up all day. I can't do it, I can't do it. But even what gets me is that when she was a child, she used to get picked up by Ironside and go to Riding for Disabled. It's where she used to go. They used to come into, she went to Maryland's primary school when we first moved back here to Taranaki, and they'd go and pick her up in the little Ironside van, and she'd climb into that, and off she'd go to riding at RDA once a week. Well, this is now saying they're not going to be able to fund that. They'll pull that funding for kids to go to RDA because they don't deem it as a necessary thing. And it absolutely rattles my cage because I sit back and think, she would fall through because she's not in a wheelchair, so therefore I could pick her up. But if I'm working as a solo mum, how the hell am I going to... Do I take pay without leave to go and, do you know what I mean? Like, is it not... And that makes such a difference, and it made such a difference in a child's life that they're saying now that they're going to potentially pull that funding to be able to fund transport and stuff. That's a luxury to go to RDA, as it were. And I can't understand it.
That's disappointing to hear.
It is, it's terrible. It's terrible. I mean, we've through that now because she's 28, but it's like, I think of how many other kids who go there, and it makes such a difference in their life that they can go there and be kids and forget about health crap, forget about being poked and prodded with needles, actually gain some skills, have muscle development, have all of those things, and these... for what a bit of term, I'm not going to say it on air, are doing this to those children. And I absolutely cannot believe how stupid they are that they think that we're going to just sit back.
I think, based on what you're saying, Tracy, I think what would be good to note is people who aren't impacted by this change, it's hard for them to come to grips of how significant the change is.
Yeah.
And we're like that. And my wife and I and our children, fully able.
Yeah.
Knowing full well that the struggles that my mother and father-in-law had was raising Melissa. But it was off the back of the frustrations of not receiving support.
Yeah.
So they home-cared Melissa. And then for us, it's been an incredibly humbling journey. To be full-time caregivers when my mother and father-in-law passed away. And we get to see firsthand some of those challenges every day. And it's not a part-time job. It's not to get paid full-time. It's 24/7. And I think what we've learnt as a family who have now committed to our sister to be full-time caregivers. That's actually what's needed at the moment, is wraparound support for families who are directly impacted. And if this doesn't impact you, I have no doubt that the families out there will know of someone who will be directly impacted. And we need support. We need support to ensure that what is being proposed is being proposed with us, not against us.
And
I'm happy to champion and help advocate for this so we can have some really strong pathways to improve the system, not the opposite. And I feel from the communities that are impacted, that's the sense that they're feeling.
Yeah.
Is it's being done to them and not with them.
Yeah.
I'd like to talk about one of the talking points that that this government have around why they made this change is that if caregivers are employees of the state, that means there's all these complications of, like, we have to go into people's homes and do health and safety assessments, and we couldn't possibly do that. And my question is, what would you find? You know, like, if the state were to go into the homes of disabled people and caregivers and do a health and safety assessment of the working conditions that caregivers are in, what would they find? Because I think there's your answer, actually, about why the government is pulling back on this, because they know what they're going to find.
Under-resourced.
Caregivers 100%. Are under-resourced.
Absolutely.
And working in unsafe.
Supported, unsafe environments.
Environments.
Absolutely.
That go against our employee laws, that go against our health and safety laws, and go against our human rights
and
laws.
And let alone if you even immediately look about persevering somebody's mental health, having to support somebody who's disabled. Because let's face it, I can remember sitting there bawling on the floor, like in a crumpled heap on the floor, because I was so bloody exhausted. We saw it the other day with Victoria in here. She's absolutely exhausted. That poor woman, she's exhausted. And, you know, but unless you've been through it, you look at that and you might judge. Like, I think sometimes they've got no frickin' idea. Sam, let's bring you in here, because obviously Chair of Age and Accessibility Working Party. You're doing Brian Vickery, banging things. But what do you see, like, and when you talk about let's look at the aged, how's this going to impact them?
Oh, look, first of all, thank you for the invite today. This is for me, I'm going to be pretty upfront, this bill is a kick in the guts for the disability and older people sectors. And I suppose when I look at it, I'm purely here as a community activator today.
Yeah.
My colleagues, Dinny and EJ, bring lived experience that I don't.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting here learning myself.
Yeah.
But what I do know is the adverse effects to our disability sector are going to be very adverse for families. So my concern is around not only all carers, but particularly the older people sector, so 65 plus. A lot of those parents and caregivers are 65 plus.
They're citizens,
aged people still being available to look after disability issues in their families.
Yep.
That is very, very hard work.
Mm.
And so not to be recognised by this government for the care that their families need or the people that are in their care is just a kick in the guts. And older people are expected now to get up, be there and support these people through, you know, all of their lives. And that's hard work for older people. It's also hard work for those carers that might be a bit younger, but I don't see a lot of care in this bill. I see all care and no responsibility, and that's deeply concerning. And my role here today is to support Enabling Good Lives. They are going to turn up next week at the Public Engagement Committee at 2 p.m. on Wednesday next week at the Council to do a deputation on the things that Dinny and EJ are talking about. And all I can do in my role as a councillor is to encourage people to come along and listen to that and be present and have support. And my expectation, I've been very clear, is that this is not a New Plymouth District Council issue. It is a regional issue. And post this, I would expect that the Taranaki Mural Forum would be writing to Minister Upson condemning this bill from a region for all of our people with disabilities in our older people sectors. That's my expectation. So we're asking for people to support that next week.
Sustainable Taranaki invites you to join them for Talking Tayo, a show about protecting our beautiful environment through positive, practical action. They explore the values of katea kitanga, guardianship, and how you can help Taranaki thrive. Join them every Monday at 5, only on Art FM, your community voice.
Thank you. another future I can see. Like a distant memory. I'll transcend reality. I'm supposed to be. It's a brand new galaxy. And there I'll set my spirit free.
I've never seen a diamond in the flesh. I cut my teeth on wedding rings in the movies, and I'm not proud of my address. In a torn up town, no postcode envy. But every song's like gold teeth, grey goose dripping in the bathroom, bloodstains, ball gowns, trash in the hotel room. Care. We're driving Cadillacs in our dreams, but everybody's like crystal, Maybach, diamonds on your timepiece, jet planes, islands, tigers on a gold leash. We don't care. We aren't caught up in your love affair, and we'll never be royals.
Royals.
It's a run in our blood. That kind of luck's just ain't for us. We crave a different kind of buzz. Let me be your
ruler.
You can call me Queen Bee,
and baby I'll rule.
Let me live that fantasy. My friends and I, we've cracked the code. We count our dollars on the train to the party, and everyone who knows us knows that we're fine with this. We didn't come for money.
But every song's like gold teeth, grey goose dripping in the bathroom, bloodstains, ball gowns, trash in the hotel room. We don't care. We're driving Cadillacs in our dreams, but everybody's like crystal, Maybach, diamonds on your time.
there.
And we'll never be royals. It's a one in our blood. That kind of love's just ain't for us. We crave a different kind of buzz. Let me be your ruler.
Thanks for listening to this episode. For more information and others just like this, head along to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.
This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.